scripture reading is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. If you would like to follow along in your Bibles, please do so. If you need a Bible, Larry in the back will be more than happy to give you one. Just raise your hand. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give spirit to a son, and you are to give, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Deb. We're in a series called Awkward Family Christmas, and we are taking some of the real life, uncomfortable, awkward things that just seem to be intensified this time of year. But we are looking at those things through the lens of the first Christmas and acknowledging that the first Christmas was, in fact, not this picture-perfect, beautifully packaged with a bow on top kind of story. It was just as strange and awkward as some of our family gatherings, if not more. So it's not uncommon during this time of year to get an invitation to a party, like to a Christmas party, where there are awkward things that happen, like a white elephant gift exchange or an ugly Christmas sweater contest. And you could probably think of a dozen other things that come with these awkward invitations. Well, last week we talked about the awkward invitation to Mary. Awkward because it's given by an angel. You know, the prospect of an angel appearing before you wasn't always exactly a welcome thing. It was a terrifying thing because they would often follow their presence with, "Do not be afraid." It was awkward because she's a young, poor teenage girl from a podunk town, you know. Nobody knows her there. And it's awkward because she's engaged to be married, and this invitation is going to call a lot of things into question between her and her fiancé. So today we're going to talk about the awkward situation of her fiancé, Joseph. When it comes to Christmas or life in general, what we expect to happen doesn't always match up with reality, right? Like, take for instance, you get the dream job. And so your expectation is that this job is going to be rewarding and fulfilling, and people are going to respect and appreciate you. And then you get into the job and you realize you're working long hours, you have difficult coworkers, and you're constantly under stress to meet deadlines. Maybe it's that you bought a new house. And so the expectation is, oh, this is going to be so great. Like, I'm going to own my own place, and I get to call the shots, and everything's going to be wonderful. This is going to be such a great investment. But the reality is you get in there, and you realize it's a money pit. You know, like the basement fills with water every time it rains. There's a mold problem in the front yard. The furnace is on its last leg, and the plumbing is backed up. Or maybe it's the family Christmas photo, which those of you who brought in pictures, thank you for sharing those with us. And I would encourage you guys to keep bringing your fun, awkward family Christmas photos in to share with everybody in here. But The expectation with the family Christmas photo is that you dress up your little ones in their cutest Christmas get-ups and their hair's done up, and you hope that when they go to see Santa, like, their eyes are going to light up and they're going to smile real big. And then you get the picture back and one of them's crying, one of them's blinking, and one of them has spilled something down the front of their dress, right? That's life. Our expectations don't always match up with reality. It rarely does. One of the most common observations I make as a pastor is that people are fearful of change. Most people resist change. They want to do things the same way they've always done them. They want to sit in the same spot they've always sat. They're afraid to try anything different. And even if you tell them, hey, if we do it this way, we might reach more people, they still don't want to do it. And when you ask them why, they said, because that's the way we've always done it. It's hard for me to justify that as a reasonable answer, but that happens all the time. But I don't know if it's so much the change that we resist than what we might give up in the process. When our expectations don't line up with reality, we tend to worry about the deficits. What is it that we are losing in the process? Well, this was Joseph's predicament. Him and Mary were making plans, and whether they had big hopes and dreams or just pursuing a quiet, happy life, their plans did not include this invitation that Mary just received. So when Mary comes to him and says, the plans have changed, Joseph is confronted with the reality that he did not choose. Quite the contrary to what he expected. It turned his life upside down through no fault of his own. Like, this was a man of great faith and devotion to God. And yet, because of this plan that he did not choose for himself, so much was at stake for him. Like his relationship with Mary, you know, he has to come to terms with the reality that this girl he planned to marry and start his own family with is now going to carry a child that isn't his. I mean, just think about the magnitude of this for Joseph. I imagine Joseph wondered many things in those first 24 to 48 hours. Like, will I be able to look at Mary the same way? Can I really love this child as if they were my own? All valid questions for a man in that position. You know, how might this affect the children we have together, right? How many of you have ever seen Fred Claus? Ooh, not many of you. You should go watch it. It's a great movie. So the premise of that movie is sibling rivalry between Santa Claus and his older brother Fred. And Fred grows up with this resentment toward his brother because he's always living in the shadows of his brother's good will and good deeds and accomplishments. And even his mother kind of festers that resentment by saying, "Why can't you be more like your brother?" Imagine growing up in a family where your big brother is Jesus. And maybe Mary told her other kids, "Why can't you be more like your brother?" You know, and there are scriptures that imply that there were some tensions within that family. There was dysfunction as Jesus' earthly ministry expanded. The siblings suggested he was crazy. There was an awkward family dynamic there. And these were probably things that went through Joseph's mind. Not to mention his reputation, you know. Can you imagine what people might have been saying about him, about what a fool he was to stay with Mary, having a baby out of wedlock and one that wasn't his. And, you know, the penalty for adultery in that culture was stoning. And before you say, well, they weren't technically married in that culture, if you were engaged, they took that just as seriously as marriage. So to spare her life would have actually brought shame on his family. And that's why the text says, because he was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I mean, I imagine this felt like a lose-lose situation for Joseph. If he followed the expectations of his family and friends, he loses the love of his life. But if he keeps the girl, you know, he loses everyone else's respect. So Joseph, he tries to take the high road. He doesn't want to cause a scene. And I know some of us are thinking, I wish my family would get that memo. Joseph planned to leave quietly, run away from the awkward embarrassment of the situation, but quietly. Now, before we give Joseph props here, you know, even though he tried to spare some dignity for himself and Mary, he was still trying to get out, which meant he was making assumptions about Mary that weren't correct. Right? He assumed that Mary had an extramarital relationship, which we all would have done the same because the context is just so incredible. But I think we can all relate to this story because we've all had situations in our lives where our hopes and our expectations did not match up with reality, and there was a loss that we felt with that. You know, for you, this Christmas, it might be an empty seat at the table. Maybe it's a strained relationship. Maybe it's a conflict that doesn't seem to have a resolution. You know, it feels like a lose-lose situation. Perhaps it's a chaotic circumstance that is disturbing your peace. And this is what is happening for Joseph on this first Christmas, a change that in the moment feels more like a loss than anything. And yet, God redeems it. It is through this awkward family situation that God steps into the world. We spend most of the season trying to create these picture-perfect moments that cover up the chaos that is our lives. And the truth is that first Christmas was very messy and chaotic. How many times do we jump to conclusions and miss God's best? Because we didn't take the time to understand the context. You know, we make assumptions about the way a person behaves or reacts without understanding the context. We get frustrated that things didn't go the way we planned without considering how God might be working behind the scenes. But the text says, after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So this angel gives Joseph the same message that Mary got. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the change that doesn't match up with the plan you had. Don't let your confusion about the future prevent you from trusting God in the midst of it. You know, perhaps God is speaking the same message into your life right now. Maybe this Christmas season, you're going through something in your life that didn't quite go the way you envisioned it. And God's saying, there's been a change in plans, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the change I want to bring into your life. Yes, it feels different from what you had in mind. Yes, it feels awkward and uncomfortable, but don't be afraid of it. Trust that I'm working through it. I'm working something that is far beyond your imagination and capacity, and I am always working for your good. Maybe his message to you this Christmas is, don't jump to conclusions about people and circumstances in your life without carefully studying the context and how I might be working through that. Because a lot of times what we have in mind isn't at all what God has in store. And there are times when we have to abandon what we want so that God can usher in something even greater. And so when Joseph woke up the next morning, you know what he did? He began emptying himself. because he had to let go of a lot of things. He had to let go of the fear. He had to let go of the villagers' whispers and stares. He had to let go of his own doubts and questions. He had to let go of his own reputation and standing in the community. He had to let go of his ideas and hopes for what his marriage to Mary could have been. But with each letting go, Joseph emptied himself so that by God's grace and mercy, he might become the very person God created him to be and to fulfill a purpose that was far beyond his imagination. And like Joseph, we too have to get out of the way of ourselves so that we can experience the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. It seems counterintuitive, but sometimes the greatest thing we can do is to lean into the awkward and uncomfortable, because when we do, we find God there. And then he leads us towards something greater, something we didn't even see coming. The text goes on to say that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is a statement Isaiah made hundreds of years before Jesus is born, but it is a very specific statement. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And that statement, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said, that statement affirms that there was purpose in all of it. Not just the good, but the bad. After all, God didn't break through into Mary and Joseph's life to wreck it, but to redeem it. So all the mess, all the chaos, all the confusion, all the awkwardness took place to fulfill what God wanted to do. So I just want you to consider for 1 minute. Is it possible that what you had planned is so much less than what God has planned for you? To have a life of faith goes far beyond believing. It's embracing the fact that God is doing something, even when it makes zero sense. Whatever he's doing, it is purposeful. It is for your good. It is for the furthering of his kingdom. And we're talking about the King of Kings, who brings the greatest news, the greatest hope for all humanity, out of a barn, out of two ordinary people. And if he can do that, he can take whatever sticky situation you are walking through, whatever brokenness you're experiencing, and bring something good, redemptive, and purposeful out of it. May this be the anchor you cling to this season. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for meeting us in the messy, confusing, and awkward spaces of life, just as you did with Joseph. Thank you for reminding us that even when our hopes and dreams don't align with reality, your purpose is being woven together with grace. Lord, give us courage to listen when you speak, to trust when we don't understand, to follow you even when it costs us our comfort. Help us remember that Emmanuel, God with us, is not just a name, it is a promise. And you are with us in every uncertain decision, in every strained relationship, in every family moment that feels complicated or broken. As we leave this place, guide our steps in obedience, turn our fears into faith, our doubts into deeper devotion, and our awkward stories into living testimonies of your love. We trust you with our lives, our families, and our future. We pray this in the name of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Christmas story is filled with awkward moments, unexpected announcements, unusual directions, and unbelievable promises. Joseph didn't ask for his world to flip upside down, but instead of walking away, he trusted God with his reputation, his plans, and his future. Joseph's quiet obedience helped usher in God's greatest gift to the world. Today, as we give, we follow in Joseph's footsteps. Each gift is an act of obedience, sometimes without fully knowing how God will use it. But we believe, and we are always, yes, away from seeing God do the impossible. As we give, let us trust that God multiplies every offering into hope, healing, and salvation for someone who needs it. Remind us, Lord, that miracles are born through ordinary obedience.